We are called. Everybody's afraid. What are we called? Christians. We are called. Christians. Let's see if we can get that a little more coordinated. We are called.
Christians.
We are called Christians because we have built upon a foundation of Christ's completed work. We are continuing to build on a foundation of the Holy Spirit's continued work through Jesus, and we are building on a foundation of the teachings of Christ. And that's where we start. Jesus said if we build on that foundation, we're like the wise man who built his house on a rock, and as life crashes against our foundation, we stand. So the Jesus standard is very important for those who are called. Wow, you almost got it. This morning we're going to explore what Jesus said about light. And I've picked out three Bible passages, three places where he talks about light. So if you will turn with me, let's start with John, the 8th chapter, verse 12. And it reads like this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Wow, that's worth celebrating. Then in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 16, he says this, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And finally, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 22 and 23, he says this, The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Lord, we pray that you would take your word this morning and that you would drive it into our brains. May it find a place in our thinking patterns that change the way we live. May we learn to walk in the light as you are in the light. We ask this in the name of, that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in a place of constant spiritual tension. Paul refers to this as a spiritual war. You can read about it in Ephesians 6, the 6th chapter, that there is a conflict going on between what is right and what is wrong. A spiritual war between the church and actual demonic forces. In our passage of Scripture, Jesus refers to this cosmic conflict with the metaphor of light and darkness. The light represents all that is right and good, truthful and pure. It represents the love of God, the plan of God, the holiness of God, the work of God, the mercy of God, the redemption of mankind. That's what light is all about in this metaphor. The darkness represents all that is wrong and evil, deceptive and corrupted. It represents the work of the enemy, the fall of and spiritual death of man, the chains of sin, the tyranny of addiction, the absence of hope, the degradation and devaluing of human life. That is all that darkness holds for us. And even now, in this moment, even sitting here in the church, the battle rages on. Light versus darkness. Right versus wrong. Truth versus deception. Good versus evil. Salvation versus damnation. Freedom versus bondage. Grace versus judgment. Hope versus despair. The conflict is real. And if you have any spiritual sense about you, you're aware of it. You're aware of it. Now, the stakes are high in this conflict. Very high indeed. Because the souls of people, people that you know and love personally, are at stake. They're in the balance. And let me tell you how Jesus feels about that. He proclaimed that he came with a purpose to save that which was lost. That was his purpose. On the cross, he sacrificed everything to make atonement, a way out of the darkness. And he paid the ultimate price to obtain the field with the pearl of great price. The salvation of lost souls is important to Jesus, and please hear me, it should be important to us as well. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We should care. We should care passionately. This should be a driving force behind the church and what we declare and proclaim. C.S. Lewis said this: "The salvation of a single soul is more important than the production or preservation of all the epics and tragedies in the world. The salvation of one soul is more important than all the fame that you might ever have. It's more important than all the movies that have ever been made. It's more important than all the books that have ever written. One soul has more value than that. That's what's at stake." Charles Spurgeon said this: If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned or unprayed for. Church, we have a job to do, and we need to be passionate about this because the stakes are very, very high. We know that Jesus takes the salvation of people seriously, so seriously that he took what was most valuable to him, his son. And John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent Jesus, his beloved, into this world of darkness. He sent Jesus to us to be the light. So let's examine the light. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, if you look up this word light, to dig down into the original Greek, it's the word phos. And believe it or not, it means light. Nothing profound here. The word phos just means light, or to shine, to illuminate, to make manifest. Now, let me state something that's obvious about the fundamental importance of light. Light reveals all that we can see. And without light, we can see nothing. If there was no light on this planet, it would be very similar to the dark void that existed before creation exploded. If you remember in Genesis at the very beginning, there was darkness. Can't function in the darkness. Spiritually speaking, without Jesus, our world is in darkness. Without Jesus, there is no light, there is no way, there is no truth, there is no life. Without Jesus, we are the blind leading the blind, and it will end in disaster. I was 10 years old, and my grandparents, my grandfather was working for the Weather Service, and he put on these observation schools at airports where people were taught how to observe the weather, and on the hour they would go out and they would look at the clouds and they would make their best guess. You know, they would record what the barometer said, you know, what the temperature was, how fast the wind was blowing, and what they observed. And so he taught these schools all around the United States, or particularly across the South. And he took myself, I believe it was my brother, on that trip. You didn't go on that trip, did you? To New Mexico, to Roswell. Was it you? Well, see, that's how much I cared, right? So Donna and I went on a trip with my grandparents. And when we were in New Mexico, they took us to Carlsbad Caverns. How many of you have ever been there? It's an amazing place. It's like a whole world under the world. I understand that it goes for hundreds of miles. And when you're in there, firstly, they give you a guide that works for the Park Service. And this guide has a light, and he leads you down this pathway, and you go down an elevator and downstairs, and you know, there are crystals and stalactites and stalagmites and pillars and water dripping, and you know, I mean, it's really a magical world under there. When they get you about a mile into the earth, they give you some very specific instruction. First thing they tell you is, make sure that all of you are standing still. And if you have small children with you, make sure that you hold their hands. And then they turn the lights out. Well, that's premature, but that works. She didn't read her script. There we go. We'll get to that point. Sorry about that. It's a prearranged thing. What I found with the darkness, when they turn the lights out, is that you can put your hand as close to your face as possible, and you can't see anything. You can't see anything. The darkness is so thick that it's oppressive. You feel like it's pressing in on you. It's not a good feeling. It's really a pretty dreadful feeling. That is so good. If they left the lights out, now, we have a little bit of light here. We've got these exit signs, and you've got my pad up here. Some others on the stage, so you know, there's a little bit of light in here. If anybody leaves this room, we'll know who you are, because there will be light that shines through. But if they left the lights out while you're in Carlsbad Caverns, it would be impossible to get out unscathed. People would be stumbling around, bumping into each other, trying to find a place of security in the darkness. And I want you to know that this is how the world was before Jesus arrived. There was no path to eternal life, no hope, no light. It was every man for himself. It was a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. And even the law of Moses was unable to save anyone. And so into the darkness, God sends Jesus. This is historic, because before this happens, there is no way to life. And he spoke the words of hope for everyone stuck in darkness. And he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This is why the Jesus standard is so important. Jesus is the life. Jesus has the words of life. Jesus is the way to life. Jesus is the provision for life. Jesus is the hope of eternal life. And there is a key to obtaining the life that is promised to Jesus, promised by Jesus. You simply have to follow him. You simply have to follow him. How many of you are familiar with LED lights? You can raise your hand, because nobody's going to see you. They're really incredible. See, this is not the kind of lights that we used to have as a kid. These things, I mean, wow, is that an amazing light or what? Yeah, okay, I see what you're talking about. It's an amazing light. So if we were in Carlsbad Caverns, and we couldn't get the lights to come on, and I was the park ranger, the guide, and I said to you, hey, I have a flashlight, shines pretty well, and I know the way out of the cavern. All you need to do is follow me. Would you follow? Would you follow? You know, because once I'm gone out of the building, there will be no way to find your way. I have a flashlight. I know the way out. Follow me. You know what? I'm sure that there are people who would just say things like, you know, I think I'd rather stay behind. I don't really trust you. I'd rather take my chances. I'd rather find someone else. It's a dangerous choice. Our mission at Believers Church is to make fully devoted followers of Christ in every generation. Do you know why? Because Jesus is the light of the world, and if we have Jesus, we have the light of life. I like that secret weapon. When Jody and I go camping this summer, if a bear breaks into our tent, I know what I'm going to do. Yeah, I'm dead. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm going to say something that may shock some of you. The ministry of Jesus has not yet been completed. The ministry of Jesus has not yet been completed. Oh, he said it is finished on the cross. What did he mean by that? That his work, his atoning work for us was completed. But the work of the church, his body, is not completed. The job of the church is to go into all the world and make disciples. Jesus was one light. I grant you, he was a great light. He was an amazing light, but he was just one light. And so he gathers his disciples with him, and he says to them, the things that I do, you will do, and you will do even greater things. It seems impossible. And yet I tell you today that that prophecy is being fulfilled, because around the world there are millions and millions of lights that believe in Christ. The sum total is much greater than one light. It's the power of the church infused with the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's with that understanding that Jesus told us that we collectively are the light of the world, and that we individually have a responsibility to let our light shine. In order to effectively shine our light, we need our light to be open and obvious. We're not called to be secret agents for Christ. We're not called to be silent witnesses. We're not called to hide our devotion to Christ under a basket. So the question is this: how do I let my light shine so that everyone can see it? How do I make it obvious that I'm a follower of Christ? Well, our text tells us to do good works that others will glorify God. Now, I need to make something clear. We are not saved by our works. But when we are saved, we were saved so that we might do good works. We got to keep the cart before the horse, or the horse before the cart? Which is it? Oh, the horse before the cart. Now, see, that's the thing that gets confused in the church. Because you start talking about this, people instantly think, oh, you mean I need to work for my salvation? No. But after you're saved, you should let your light shine. You should let those good works flow so much that everybody glorifies God because of your life. That you are a difference maker in your family, in your schools, at the workplace, driving in your car, at HEB, everywhere you go, your light is shining and you are making a difference. It means that in all of our relationships, they should be governed by the fruit of the Spirit. Let me remind you of what that is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Did you hear that? There's no law against doing good stuff. You can go home today and mow your neighbor's yard. You can buy somebody's lunch today. You can pour the fruit of the Spirit on all the relationships around you. So much so that they glorify God because they see God shining through your life. Now, let me ask you, if all of us begin to shine the fruit of the Spirit, will we make a difference? Oh my, it'll be incredible. Let your light so shine that men see your good works and glorify God. What is the one sign that Jesus said would identify us as followers of Christ? Love. Specifically, the love that we show one to another. So it starts here in our relationships that we demonstrate that agape, enduring, patient, forbearing type of love. And as we do that, you know, all kinds of lights start coming on and we start making a difference in the world. It's too bad we don't all have little lights. Then we could all stand and sing the song, oh, come on, little light, come on. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. My favorite verse was always, don't let Satan it out. How many of you are with me? Okay, thank you. You are the cool people here. I think that when we come together in this kind of love, and this kind of demonstration of light, that we become the church that Jesus wants us to be, and the powers of darkness can't prevail against us, and we start making a mess of the kingdom of darkness. Demons start trembling when they hear the name of Jesus, and they start trembling when they hear your name, because Jesus is in you. In Armenia, the church begins to celebrate Easter on Saturday night. They gather in churches all around the nation, and they sing songs of tribute to the risen Christ. Then they do something I think is really cool. They hit the streets armed with lamps and candles, and they proclaim, we, the church, are the light of the world. I've been thinking about that. You know, we're putting an evangelism team together. By the way, those who are interested in that, in about 2 weeks, we're going to have our first meeting, and it'll be announced. But I've been thinking, you know, one of the projects I'd like to do is a kind of a project like that. I'd like to talk to the city of Leander. Where can we meet on Christmas Eve with lamps? Where can we walk and carol? Where can we let people know we're the people of God? It's time to take the light out. And everyone said, okay, final verses, Matthew 6, 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in you is darkness. How great is the darkness? When we think of light, we generally think of the light as something that's shining out, shining outwardly. But in these verses, Jesus talks about the light that shines into our body through our eyes. In other words, there is data and information that is passing through our eyes, making an impression on our brains, and this process is literally shaping our thought patterns. What we process begins to determine how we process. Did you hear me? What we process begins to determine how we process. The input begins to determine our output. The input begins to determine how we think and who we are. There's an old saying that applies to these verses, garbage in, garbage out. When it comes to our physical being, nutritionist circles, they'll tell you that you are what you eat. When it comes to our brain function, we are what we see. We are what we see. It's possible to go online today and expose yourself to things that will bring darkness into your brain. And Jesus said that if you're bringing bad things through your eyes, your whole body will be full of darkness, and that darkness will be great. And I don't want to belabor this point, but let me give you some advice from the Apostle Paul that affects our testimony and our ability to shine light. He said this, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I don't have to tell you, but I will, that if I go by this advice, there are television shows that I can't watch. There are movies that I can't go to. There are books that I can't read. There are a lot of YouTube clips that I can't see. There are a lot of comedians that I shouldn't find funny. There are a lot of internet sites that I shouldn't visit. And there are songs where I shouldn't know the lyrics because I don't want darkness to find home inside of me. Because if darkness comes in, then I can't shine the light. Because then that's not who I am. It's not that I'm not free to see and do what I want to do, but not all these things are profitable for my spiritual walk. Let me just for a moment get up on my soapbox as if I'm not already, right? I don't think that you have to be crass to be funny. In fact, I think it takes a lot more IQ and a lot more creativity to be funny without being crass. But we have a culture that falls to the lowest level, and they are just crass, and people laugh at it. It's like, in the church, why don't we start doing things that are funny? Why don't we come up with comic skits and things to say and jokes that are actually well thought of and intelligent, but actually funny? I have to tell you the truth. I don't think bathroom humor is all that funny. I don't think that a movie or a TV show has to be suggestive in order to be interesting. I don't think books or music needs to be vulgar in order to inspire. It really bothers me that the younger generation, I mean, some of the lyrics, I mean, when I grew up, honestly, the lyrics were pretty mild. Nowadays, wow. Even artists who claim to be believers in Christ, they will have these explicit warnings about what's contained in their lyrics. Shouldn't be that way. Rather than fill our minds with that kind of junk, we should meditate on the Word of God day and night. I dare you, become a Jesus freak. Really, a Jesus freak. Start singing songs unto the Lord all day long. This last week, I don't know about you, but if If I meditate upon the word or some Christian song, that song oftentimes will be playing in my brain. So this week, the song that's been playing in my brain over and over and over, it's the song of "Better is one day in the courts of the Lord than thousands elsewhere." So if you had been in my house sometime this day, I mean this week, you would have found me in my living room acting crazy. But I just couldn't get the song out of my head. So I started singing all by myself. Better is a one day in your courts. Better is a one day in your house. Better is a one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Nobody's around, so I just got louder. And I changed keys up. Better is a one day in your courts. Better is a one day in your house. Better is a one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Then I started getting crazy. Better is a one day. Better is a one day. Better is a one day in your house than thousands elsewhere. Then I thought, how high can I go? Better is one. I mean, seriously, that's how I was. And pretty soon, I've got my hands raised. I am blowing the doors out. You know, I'm just going nuts. That's what I want in my mind. That's what I want inside of me. That's what I want shining through. So often, that's not the case. But that's the way I want it to be. And all I can tell you is if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, after God, He's going to fill you up with His light. And you're going to be able to shine that out. And you'll begin to change your world. We do that collectively together. This is going to be a church to be contended with. I simply think that our calling to be light is a noble and high calling. Oh, amen. And that God has a higher destiny for us than to be eating out of the pig trough of the world. Think about it. That is so undesirable. And the things of God are so desirable. Let's run hard after Jesus. I'll close with this verse, and music team, if you'll come up. 1 John 1:7 says this: "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin."